911, what's your emergency?
This is 911 emergency. What are you reporting for?
And welcome back to We Speak Dispatch. We got a great crew with us today. We got our usual suspects. We got Joe over there and Leslie down here. And over there's Rob. Hey, Rob, thanks for joining us today. Give us a little bit about how long you've been in the business. How long you been in here?
I am about 20 days away from 30 years.
Holy cow.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thanks.
Oh, man.
That's awesome.
Good. Just saying it. Retirement's good. But all right, Rob, so you actually, we contacted you. You want to jump in with us here and give us a topic. So what is your topic today that we can all kick around here today?
Well, I think some of the things that at least that we're dealing with is being tired of being tired and all the extra work that's coming in that we are doing our job. We're doing a great job. And I don't want to say being punished for doing a good job, but it seems like with next gen and all the new technology that comes with that, plus the extra expectations of new questions for COVID and for all the things that we're dealing with, what we are responding for, what we're, you know, changes in policy just for interactions, plus within the center itself, we've put up partitions, we've put on masks, we've done everything, everything we've been asked of, but I'm finding myself leaving work every day satisfied that I did a great job, but more and more exhausted.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah. It's a lot of stuff out there going on. I mean, especially with COVID, do you guys wear masks at work?
We have, when we're set up in the consoles, we're distanced enough that within the headset, there's no mask necessary.
Okay.
But everywhere else within the building, there's enough interaction and there's enough people on site that masks are necessary.
Right.
Wow, that's a lot of stuff. Who wants to jump on that one?
Yeah, we're set up very similar to Rob. Throughout the building, you have to wear a mask. Once you're into the dispatch area and at the console, you're far enough apart where you don't have to. But we do also encourage them at shift change in between the two employees as they're talking to one another to relieve each other. So we do encourage them for a brief moment there at shift cutover. But other than that, we're very similar setup when it comes to masks, the same as Rob.
Yeah, I've had a conversation with our staff, similar to Rob's kind of dilemma. I don't think, unfortunately or fortunately, misery loves company. I don't think he is exclusive. But I know that I've had numerous conversations where it seems as though, okay, there's a new piece of equipment. Well, where do we put it? Oh, let's put it in dispatch. Yeah. Oh, there's a new thing that's happening. Oh, where do we put it? Oh, let's put it in dispatch. And, you know, like, for example, we've got cameras all over the city on several buildings and in different intersections and things like that. And they're in there and we have access to probably, I don't know, over 300 camera views, but we're told, oh, but we don't expect you to watch them. Except when there's an active crime, hey, dispatch, can you bring up that camera and tell me what's happening? In the middle of all the other stuff? Sure. Yeah. And I get it, Rob. It's a blessing and a curse. We've got all of this great technology, yet we're not hiring, you know, that technology needs people behind it. And it's frustrating.
And how do you address that issue of people being just leaving work just exhausted? I mean, not just exhausted because of the job, but just there's so many things happening at once that you're just walking out of there just a mess. Does anybody have, like, I've heard of a few agencies that do this after shift briefing, kind of like a roll call, but at the end of shift where they're getting ready to go home and you talk about what happened during the day and here's what we're doing. Anybody do anything like that?
I like that idea. I know we have like the pass, not Passover, that's a different thing. Changeover, you know, where your relief is coming in and there's that little brief moment where you're kind of telling them, okay, this is what happened during the shift. But I love that idea of having it formalized where everybody who's worked together for that shift gets together and kind of has it's almost like a critical incident debrief on a mini version. That's a great idea.
Kind of, I worked at one of the comm centers I worked at did that. And when they first started talking about it, I thought that was so unusual, but they said the officers do it. When they come back to station, they all kind of sit around and talk about, okay, how did this go? What did you do with that? And I'm like, I could totally see the value of it. And if people are leaving work just just exhausted. I mean, at least they could get a little bit of a thing at the end of their shift or something like that. So that seems to be a lot of stuff going on out there.
It's a great idea.
Yeah.
There's always the informal, you know, parking lot conferences before you hit the road.
Yeah.
And those, you know, oftentimes we leave feeling better just standing at our cars outside of the building, letting, you know, loose of whatever happened at that shift or whatever was going on at that moment. But we've never formalized anything, you know, beyond the one-on-ones of relieving one chair out of another.
Yeah, because I know that we, you know, and that's the bad thing about dispatch. We sometimes do the dumbest things out there. Because I know that when I worked in one of the biggest comm centers, after shift, a lot of us, we stand in the parking lot complaining, almost said something else, complaining about the day and what happened and, oh my God. And then where would that lead to? Hey, let's go get a drink someplace.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's kind of the wrong way to do it. And I saw the value in doing the after shift briefing. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't a long time. It was just like 10 minutes. And they were just like, let's talk about what happened. And this was a good call. And that went this way. And here's what happened. And just sort of, you get sort of a closure as you're walking out that door. So, but speaking of equipment, I know that when I was new, we didn't have a whole lot of equipment. We didn't have very much, but they kept adding.
Did you have a pen back then?
We had pens and paper. Shut up. So, but they kept adding stuff onto us, saying, let dispatch handle that, let them do this too, and that, and these things. And at one point, we were dispatching, and they still are in some areas, dispatching tow trucks, because we had this thing called FSP, Freeway Service Patrol, where these were tow trucks on the highways that we would dispatch to calls. If we got an accident, we'd send them ourselves. And so we're all sitting there going, wait a minute, we're police dispatchers answering 911 calls and dispatching tow trucks. This is getting ridiculous now. But they just kept throwing one more thing on you like they did with the cameras.
Yeah.
Are those cameras recorded, Leslie?
Yes.
But you're not required to watch them.
We're not required to watch them, but if an officer asks us to, and there are some dispatchers in our center who love that stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, when, as soon as they log in, they're setting up their cameras and they're really good at it. And then there are some people who are like, you know what, I'm going to focus on what I was hired to do. And this is what I really want to excel at. So there's no standard. And maybe and I think to Rob's point, sometimes that's a little bit challenging, because if an officer asks one shift, hey, can you do this for me? And you've got somebody on shift who says, oh, absolutely, I love that stuff. And then another officer on a different shift asks for the same thing, but it's a different dispatcher, and they say, yeah, I can't do that. It suddenly becomes, okay, I get it. That, you like that officer, you don't like me. And so it, you know, to what Rob's saying, it's, do you create a policy or a standard that says, hey, I know we don't like it, but now we've got to take on all these new responsibilities.
Well,
I don't know.
Well, let me ask you then.
Training.
Yeah.
Yeah. And training as well.
You know, here's another thing that we have to find a way to run everybody through some type of in-service or some kind of, you know, you can't do every training online.
Yeah.
Right.
Especially with the technology.
Oh, yeah.
So let's add something new, and, you know, three people learn it, and then they try to, you know, trickle down training, which I'm sure we've all experienced at some point.
It doesn't work. Yeah.
We'll train the one guy. He'll show everybody else.
Mm-mm. Well, let me ask you this, because I just thought about this. All three of you are still working in dispatch. Mm-hmm. And let me just ask you that. Has there been policy changes because of what's happening out in the world right now with the social situations going on out there? And are these like changes that are like quick? Like today we're going to be doing it this way, and tomorrow we're going to do it that way. Because those can be extremely troubling to deal with for people on the floor that are dealing with that stuff.
Our biggest one was the COVID implementation of extra questions on calls for service.
Yeah. And
following the Department of Public Health recommendation along with the CDC, and as they changed the questions for 911 centers to consider for asking calls, we had to change our questions as well. So they were constantly evolving and changing.
Right.
And also reducing the number of calls that officers went to at first in person. Mm-hmm. They're taking more calls over the phone and trying to tell dispatch, oh, we don't go to this one now, but now we do, because then we've waited a month or two. And then also getting all of the commanders on the same page as well, because one commander will say, no, transfer it here, and then they'll take the call over there. They'll go talk to somebody else. They'll say, transfer it back up to dispatch. We actually And so there's been a lot of changes with making sure that we take precautions to protect everybody in the COVID environment. But getting on the same page is still the number one goal, and that's been difficult throughout the whole process.
Yeah. Rob, you guys do police, fire, and medical, right? Rob, you guys do?
Yeah, we do. We do all three.
Is there changes with, like Joe's saying, with your guys' too, with this COVID craziness?
We've standardized some of our additional questions are about on-site issues, which we are universally asking. We did at one point, because we're also a protocol center, so we went and dabbled with a couple other protocols to see if they would be better suited during this time of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. That didn't work, so we went back to the standard protocols. Mm. Or
but that was popular.
I don't want to say it didn't work. It wasn't necessary.
Yeah.
But you know, law enforcement side, just like Joe said, we ran into issues where 1 week it was the health department's job to enforce an ordinance, and then it became the police's job to enforce an ordinance. It's just figuring out where the manpower goes to handle, you know, like the gathering complaints, or, you know, the places where there's too many people in one spot breathing the same air, and who enforces that, and those kinds of things. So we dealt with that as well.
Go to those kind of calls. Yeah, is that a police job?
It's been back and forth.
Yeah.
Oh,
God.
We had a policy that they go out, and it was a wag a finger kind of call. It was out and just kind of break up the situation and have a talk. And if it was a business, it might be followed up later by, you know, another county agency that has more enforcement power.
Right. And you know, as y'all are talking, and I'm thinking about, you know, what we led with and now what we're talking about here is how many of us at a supervisor or manager director level have had any training on change management?
Yeah.
Because that's what we're talking about. Change management. You've got to, as a supervisor, manager, director, or even as a line level, you've got to be willing to change. And I, you know, I love this, you know, there's only two things that dispatchers hate. It's change and things staying the same. Yeah. And so, but we don't, you know, Rob was talking about training for this camera and this piece of equipment and all that stuff. How do we train change management? Because no matter what, whether it's the pandemic or social unrest or whatever's coming next, change is inevitable. So I think we should really focus on creating some sort of training, or at least some sort of acceptance of, hey, one of the great things about this job is it's never going to be the same. And how do we get our employees to embrace that?
Well, that's I know that one of the classes that I teach is all about the future, because you have to start thinking ahead of what's coming, because what we're talking about from 2 years ago is not the same, because the job we're doing today is going to look way different in 5 years, in 10 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think of the evolution that's gone through since I started. I mean, it's a completely different job than it used to be. I mean, we used to have to ask a million questions because we didn't know where you were or anything. Now you get the address, you kind of know where they are and that kind of stuff. So it changes things. So change is inevitable. And if you don't like change, you're really going to hate extinction, because you will go away. So.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's one of those things that maybe we can go to our people and remind them, hey, remember why you love this job to begin with? I mean, one of the things that we always talk about in classes is no day is ever the same.
Yeah.
And that seems to be like a dynamic force of why people stay in this job. And maybe it's just tapping back into, hey, remember, change is gonna happen and it's okay and we're gonna get through it. And somehow managing that will maybe help with that exhaustion. You know, one more thing on your plate, Rob. One more thing to add to now. Where yeah, aren't you glad you came on? Oh good, yay. You
know, leading the change and leading the mission, you know, and so much of what we do goes back to why we chose this job in the first place. And that's always key. And that sometimes brings people back.
Mm-hmm.
But the issue that we're finding, or at least that I'm feeling often, is I still love my job. It's
sure.
I'm coming on 30 years and I still got something to give, and I got something more to, I'm not done there yet.
Right.
But I also look at everything that they say, but don't forget we have A, B, C, D, and E, and we say, you know, which one's the priority? Where do we want to go with this? What is the change in the mission? What is, and we, they go, well, it's all the priority.
Yeah.
We must
well,
all
if everything's
do that.
Important, nothing's important.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. And that goes back to exactly what you said. Change management is leading the change, but efficiently.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that that's something that could be lacking. And I'm sure I'm not alone in my center. I mean, everywhere I've ever traveled, I've heard the same stories, you know, just insert a different name and it's the exact same person.
Sure.
Well, what's lucky is Joe has us on a million different podcasts and being listened to by people in other countries. So I bet they're going in some language. I've been sure they're going, I feel the same way that Rob does. Just in Madagascar or whatever that is. Yeah. So
I appreciate everybody watching it in every country, but I've really been focusing on 5 steps to moving towards success. Mm-hmm. And that also moves with change. And one of the 5 steps that I talk about is curiosity and being curious, because with the job changing as dramatically as it is, if you're not being curious about what's coming, you're going to get burned out.
Oh, yeah.
And
then
start looking ahead and reading and seeing what's coming and learning, the better you're going to be when the change actually comes. And there's other steps, but it would take way much longer. That's just one of the 5, but it's one of the big ones for being proactive, because in order to reach your maximum potential, it is a true commitment to continual improvement.
Right.
And if you want to continue to improve.
Look at Joe out there. Joe cleaned this episode up and wrapped a bow around it and said, there you go.
Yeah, so I encourage all dispatchers to keep moving towards continual improvement, because that's how you reach your maximum potential, and be curious about the changes rather than dreading them.
That's a great idea.
One thing before I think like, Doug is going to, but I had somebody recently who we were talking about overtime and things like that. And they said every time they got ordered to overtime or every time they signed up for overtime at work, they also scheduled that same amount of time on their personal calendar. So if they got held over for 2 hours, then that gave them 2 hours now that they put on their calendar. And that's the thing. I think we're all driven by these things. And, you know, and I'm sure we've all heard that schedule on your calendar 15, 20 minutes of you time. And so if you get held over for an hour, guess what? You can kind of look at it as bonus. Now I get an extra hour for me. And I thought, wow, what a concept, because it's hard, but even if it's waking up 15 minutes earlier, you know, every morning, or going to bed 15 minutes later, just so you can have that 15 minutes to re-energize and refocus
that. I'll tell you, I know somebody, a friend of mine said this statement and I thought it was so perfect, because she said, you have to have aggressive personal time management. You got to make it happen that you go to the movies or you go outside and do something. You have to make sure you do it. And it's aggressive personal time management.
I like that. I
think it's such a good idea, because I was so used to scheduling everything on my calendar for work, mm-hmm. and never anything like, let's go do this, even though we go do a lot of fun things. But it's just one of those things where I need to schedule it down so you do it. Because otherwise you'll be like, maybe I'll stop by my office on the way. And then you never leave. You're there forever. So, wow, what a great episode that was. Thanks, Rob, for coming in today.
And hey, thanks for having me.
Stuff. Gosh, I love that kind of stuff. If you out there are interested in coming and sitting in Rob's seat, well, maybe not his seat, but maybe in his position out here in the box, or maybe his position over there, let us know. Send a message to us. Email us at wespeakdispatch@gmail.com, or leave a comment below, or go to one of our podcasts. Joe, give them a rundown of which podcasts we're out there on.
Oh, we are out there all over. I got to tell you, we're on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Pocket Cast, Breaker, Overcast, Stitcher, Radio Public, and CastBox, and probably a few others that I haven't even found yet. So we're all
I love that stuff. Well, hey, I appreciate everybody's joining in on this thing today. I hope you all got something out of it out there. And thanks again, Rob, for coming by. Appreciate it. Good night, everybody. Have a great day.
Hey, this is Jill, and you've been listening to another great episode of We Speak Dispatch, proudly sponsored by our friends at Zybex.
911, what's your emergency? Give me a place. How can I help you? We need